And now, we continue this in-depth presentation of the Dalai Lama, taking questions following his presentation on sustainability.
How many questions? How many questions?
Five.
Huh? Five?
Five?
I see.
The students wrote many, many, many questions for you, Your Holiness, but we will limit it to five,
yes,
if you are willing. Okay, thank you for your wise words about how we can save the planet and improve our mental and physical well-being and move towards harmony. The first question comes from a graduate student who is studying how to make the world more sustainable. And he asks, what is your advice to help us maintain hope given the magnitude of the challenge?
That's right. I think the questioner, expert on this field, the supposed person who make answer for that, not expert. I think I should ask him about that question. I don't know. But I think overall, I have this sort of view, or I believe the world, I think including environment, within the 20th century, I think much positive development take place. We can see big differences in the early part of 20th century and the later part of 20th century. Now, for example, the environment issue. In early part of 20th century, I think nobody have this sort of concern about environment. Now, later part of 20th century, the environment issue become very sort of significant, and even political parties, like green parties in many countries, oh, in America, any Green Party? Not yet. Yeah. So, if you have Green Party, I want to join. I think awareness about the environment issue. Now, I think much greater, much increased. So this itself is the source of encouragement, source of hope. So please continue work in this field and make known more people, educate more people, and through media, through newspaper, through some seminar talks, I think that's important, particularly in the education sort of institution. I think that's very important. As I mentioned earlier, I think from kindergarten, new generation, I think the concept of dialogue, concept of the sense of responsibility to take care the environment, these, I think, should become part of their life through education. I think that's important. Yes?
Yes.
Next question.
Thank you. Our second questioner says, rich countries consume too many natural resources, and the poor face tremendous suffering from unmet needs. Is the concept of what is sustainable different for rich and poor nations in terms of human sustainability, ecological sustainability, or spiritual sustainability?
I think this question brings one very, very serious issue, that is gap, rich and poor. Global level, as well as national level. in America, a very rich country, but within the American community, the number of billionaire increasing, but poor people, poorer section of people, I think many area still remain, sometimes become even poorer. One time in Washington, one public sort of gathering, I mentioned it is extremely important to look seriously this gap. This very place, at that time I mentioned this very place, the richest country's capital, but surrounding Washington, poor people. So this gap, not only morally wrong, but practically also a source of problem. So the people from the poorer section, sometimes frustrations, and frustration turns anger, anger turns violence. It is a big problem. And the richer family also then getting fear. So it is really a problem. So we have to address very seriously how to reduce this gap. The poorer section, I think, should work hard and with self-confidence. And instead of frustrations or anger, training, education, and work, these are, I think, important. Then the richer side, provide them education, training, equipment, opportunity. I think both sides have the responsibility to reduce this gap. So now, global level, northerner, you have surplus, southerner, especially in Africa and some other places, even basic necessities are not adequate. Same human being, on the same planet, under the same right, but this gap. Really very, very sad. Now the sustainable society. What call that word?
So, with this background.
Now here, whether American ear is suitable or not, I really feel the American lifestyle or those
affluent countries or communities,
lifestyle, I think some practice of contentment is necessary. Because the other part of the world, now obviously China, India, and some other Asian country, together, I think a quarter of the human population. Imagine, at least India and China together, more than 2 billion of human beings. Then, like the American standard, you see, each person, one car, that means over 2 billion cars. Are difficult, isn't it? Pollutions, nature resources, everything seems to be very difficult. So this unequal lifestyle also, you see, have to change. So the poorer section of the people's living standard must raise. Then, as I mentioned earlier, the nature resources, is obviously not sufficient. But of course now the clean, the energy, or these new energy resources, now science and technology, there is possibility. But still, look China, now coal, you utilize coal, immensely, and also Poland. So these immediate, you have to utilize this, but for long run, very harmful. So they have to raise their living standard. So this really is complicated. Now, some time ago, I was in Japan. I mentioned your lifestyle after Second World War. Each year, every decade, your economy is go like that. So sooner or later, one day, you may find the limitations. So it is better to prepare for that. I expressed. Then after a few years, exactly that situation happened. Some Japanese companies or leader even suicide. Like that. Now American, there are also some talks about recession, or what do you call it? Some difficulties
in
the economy. So it is better, you see, to know the limitation of the material value, right? Material development. I think logic, realistically speaking, inner value is concerned, inner richness is concerned, no limitation. So better to better no contentment. But external material development, in any case, there is limitation. So better to have contentment. But usually we just opposite. Spiritual inner development, we contented. Not much care. External material values, in any case there's limitation, but we're not contented. We always want more like that. So I think some lifestyle, I think have to change. But this is not my business. Then that recircles as payaudwa.
Yes. And also, gaining the habit of recycling materials is also very important.
I think these, you see, now new technology, new methods, new awareness now there. These are, I think, wonderful. So that much, I know. Then beyond that, no. Next question.
The third student's question returns to the issue of water, which you mentioned. Hundreds of millions of people live near the Himalayan mountains and are dependent on the rivers fed by glaciers that are now disappearing. From your perspective, how can the people and the governments in this region resolve this crisis?
There's many experts really showing, I think, some warning signal. And the amount of sort of melting glaciers, these are quite rapidly increasing. Sometimes water level, those big rivers, sometimes in certain sort of period, very high, and usually is low. So the effect of those major rivers in Asia continent, like Sindh, Ganges, Brahmaputra, and Yellow River, and then Mekong River. So these rivers, I think, cover almost whole Asia. These rivers is basis of billions of human beings' life. So very, very important. So these rivers, major resources from Tibetan plateau. So my Indian friends, Indian experts, you see, they, since many years, they're really showing serious concern, the ecology, special care about ecology on Tibetan plateau, and including deforestations, or including preservation of these forests. Fortunately, during Chinese Prime Minister To Rongqing, I think it was during his period, you see, he gave some instruction, special care about these forests. So since then, officially, some effort, but then unofficially, sometimes through corruptions, still, you see, I think carelessness is happening. So that's too very, very important to pay special attention about preservation of these, the resource of these waters.
Thank you.
That's all right. Finish. One.
You want one more or not?
What's that?
One more.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Al Gore and other leaders assert that a shift in consciousness is needed on a global scale to solve the problem of global warming. What role should formal religions play in this shift of consciousness?
I think, at least I think on among 6 billion human beings, there are quite a big portion as a religious believer, religious follower. So naturally, they. Guidance. I think from
guidance.
The religious tradition, I think very, very helpful. Very helpful. The one time, one environmentalist sort of organization, you see, sent some information about environment to late Pope through me. So I brought those sort of material and put in his front. And I briefly mentioned these things. So I think, you see, the religious leaders, the religious traditions, naturally, they have a certain potential to bring awareness. So Buddhist is concerned, I usually, you see, telling people, the Buddha's birth, Buddha born, not in his palace, but in under big tree, Buddha born. Of course, that not his sort of kasoda. Choice, but mother's choice. then when he enlightened, he got enlightenment, not on rock, not on mountain, but the bank of Ganges and one Bodhi tree. Under tree, you see, he enlightened. Then his death, not in monastery, but he lay down under big tree. So this shows, you see, Buddha have some special sort of interest about ecology, trees and these things. And then also in Vinaya, there are certain sort of stories. You see, Buddha told some group of monk, you should take care about these trees, these plants, and when you leave, you see, your next group of monk who coming your place should introduce, you see, should tell how to take care, you see, these things. So I think 2,550 years, right? Since Buddha Shakyamuni, we can consider one of ancient ecologists, I think.
Thank you, Your Holiness, for answering our students' very difficult questions with patience, clarity, and wisdom.
That's all.
I would like to now ask Jonathan Rose from Jewel Heart to present the Compassion in Action Awards. Thank you.
So, thank you very much. I want to express, organizer and this university, I very much appreciate. Then, to the audience, if you find some point which you feel worthwhile to think more or implement, then think more and experiment, investigate, further investigation, then implement. And then those points, or those audience who feel not much sort of interest, then forget it. No problem. So thank you. Good night.
There are deep and profound moral questions about how we change our world to meet our needs. We will continue to meet here each week to share the wisdom on the weekly Earth Summit. Thanks to the following underwriters and sponsors for their support of the Peter M. Wege Lecture on Sustainability held this last weekend at the Chrysler Arena at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Jewel Heart, the Tibet Fund, and the Garrison Institute. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios. Until we meet again next Tuesday or anytime on the archives, when your voice of the earth rings out around the world, here on the Wild Side News. Thank you.